States economist said, "I do have some economic thoughts, but instant rate of return. And I think the prudent movement would be to reduce it from the current 8.5% to the 8 level. The reason why I think that is, I think that over the next several decades, the best evidence is that we're going to have really quite slow labor force growth nationally. And if you don't have remarkable productivity growth nationally, you're going to have slower economic growth. Slower economic growth meaning slower corporate profit growth and slower equity growth as well. He goes on to talk about some other things with respect to inflation. I don't want to cover that here. I want to keep moving on. There is an article that I just read, and it's called The Ticker Tape. It's a stock market kind of magazine related to what TD Ameritrade, a stockbroker, stock posts. And that's a lot of investing for folks. Asset allocation recommendations have long promised investors the simplicity akin to a late night infomercial. Just set it and forget it. Determine a mix of stocks and bonds. Dial up bonds if you're more conservative. Dial up stocks if you're more aggressive. Let time of the market work your wonders on your portfolio and voila, financial security. Unfortunately, last decade has proven that approach. If you are one of the many Americans who have $370 billion in an S&P 500 index fund, you have essentially seen no gain over the last decade. If you follow the rule of thumb that you need to earn enough to fund annual 4% return on withdrawal rates, record low interest rates have rendered bonds a drag on your portfolio. A 10-year treasury, for instance, now yields just over 2% for the U.S. Department of Treasury. All of this has spurred a critical debate over a leading investment concept, modern portfolio theory. Some believe it is past its prime, while others stand firmly by it. So I've got two schools of thought here. The argument that's in favor of it was first developed by Nobel Prize winner Harry Markowitz. Boiled down to its essence, it means that based on a mathematical analysis of historical data, broad diversification is the safest way to play markets. Now, the argument against is this. Given the topsy-turvy markets over the past 3 years, some now are taking another look at portfolio theory and adopting a different approach. Scott Benson, a hedge fund manager with Baker Grounds of Management of Baltimore, created a buzz in investment circles with a paper he wrote 1 year ago, spring 2011, contending the traditional way people invest is wrong. Hardly alone among professional money managers in his feelings, his rebuttal of portfolio theory is equally intricate, but it too comes down to a simple idea. This is really important. Past statistical performance does not prove future gains. Portfolio theory leads us to these highly diversified portfolios where we feel we're really safe owning the S&P 500. And all the assumptions around them go to pot when we hit a steep bump and you lose 40% in a year. So there's a couple more things I want to cover. And, the next one here is an email I received from Mr. Martin yesterday morning. And it moves us closer to talk about this. This is the late background, and now I'm heading toward the amendment and some of the issues related specifically to the some great return and the change we've made. The current version of the 2012 Omnibus Retirement Bill provides for an 8% interest rate actuarial assumption from June 1st, 2012 until June 30th, 2017, and then reverts back to the current 8.5% interest rate actuarial assumption starting on July 1st, 2017. So that's where we are, members. That's the amendment that Senator Pappas provided it. Offered and we accept it. And the omnibus bill, that's where we are right now. The amendment provides, the amendment that I have drafted that is in front of us now, provides for an 8.25% interest rate actuarial assumption from July 1st, 2012 until June 30th, 2014, and an 8% interest rate assumptions starting in July 1st, 2012. Although both approaches have transitional periods, before reaching their eventual long-term interest rate actuarial assumption, the transitional periods are very short. In the case of mine, it's 2 years. In the case of ours, it's 5 years. Compared to the long-term nature of public pension plans, MSRS General, for example, has 10% of its membership under age 30, 20% of its membership under 35, meaning at least a 45 or 50-year period will elapse before both of these members receive their last benefit payments, assuming a normal lifespan of 80 years. Because the transitional period in each of these is so short, 5 years members, two of them, the diminishment of the actuarial effect will be nominal, which means that short period of time, that transitional period, is negligible. So we don't really need to look at the transitional period from an actuarial point of view. The best available comparison of the actuarial difference between the two approaches remains a comparison between the 8.5% in HERS and an 8.0% in this fund. So members, the one that we currently have is effectively an 8.5% return for an assumed return. That's what we have in the bill. The adjustment that we made last week is marginal, it's minimal, it's temporary, and in the big scheme of things, it's effectively still at 8.5%. The measure that I have in front of us is to do exactly what the MSRS board approved, the parent board approved, and that is to move it from 8.5% to 8% with a step in between for 2 years at 8.25%. Actuarially, though, it's 8.25% isn't that much in the big scheme of things over a 45-year period. So effectively, it forecasts to an 8% assumed rate of return. Again, that is what the board for health service brought to us. That is what the board brought to us. And they did that, I want to say, sometime in September. Considering that this passed the consent of the MSRS board and the parent board, I would encourage your support for this amendment to change the assumed rate of return from its current measure in this office. Thank you, Bill.
So, Senator Kelly, you published the one that 43 came in.
Mr. Chairman, it looks to me like it's the 53A.
53A? You're moving that amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Discussion on the amendment. Comes up.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want discussion with the funds. I seem to be perfectly happy with what we did. Not perfectly happy, yes, but satisfied at least with what we did. Yes, and I think one of the reasons why we need an annual session is that we can change things. And I think that that agreement of going down to 8, which I was surprised at what we did, that settled on 8.25, and then bouncing back up in 5 years to
state citizens from individual developers. We want to protect developers. And so in the seller's text, I agree with the President Kahn. There's some disconnect there that we don't want to become the vendor. And I think we have to agree simply, if we can agree on facts, one of the facts that Scott David brought up quite a few things and very quietly a testimony here that he did those last week, a couple months ago. But one of the ideas was that to get 8.5% return, they have to invest a little bit of riskier securities. They have to get a few more risks before they're probable to get that. And given all the set of facts that Senator Daley had brought up, and the fact that the things we heard maybe a month or so ago when Representative Daley testified, economic realities of the future, when it's done with uncertainty, and given the fact that the board has, two of the three boards have already agreed that these are solid measures, and if you wanted to support it, I would support this amendment based on the facts and based on the private testimony. And giving strong solvent funds. And one last thing is, I think one of the some of the data I had showed that if you take it down by 0.25% or 1%, it lowers, reduces the funded liability by maybe. Doing it when it's 4 or 8% over that period of time. I could be a little bit wrong. I don't even have my head. That's important to remember. But the amendment, I think, is reasonable. It's fair. We've gradually agreed to bring it in. And it guarantees solvency in the future for these funds. And it puts us more in line with many of the funds across the country. Thank you.
Members, we have been talking about delivering this superior return since last fall. I think we as a commission have probably told everybody that that's something we were going to seriously consider doing. And Senator Daley, you expressed concern about, 5 years with the Altman plan, if you go back up, would go back up to 8.5, Mr. Martin. With this amendment, 53A, is it true that the legislature in a year or 5 or 7 years could decide to raise it back up to 8.5%?
I guess, Mr. Chair, I put the 2012 motion dollars and cents for this event to be realized. The legislature is not improving from changing the increase in its cents per year.
And I think that's a point that we need to keep in mind here. In the bill, we're requiring that experience studies be done on all the funds during this period of time. So that the legislature has better information than we've sometimes found ourselves lacking in times past. And the legislature, along with this bill, has some better information to make a judgment as to whether eight is appropriate, or maybe it should be 7.5, or maybe it should go back to 8.5 as the bill would call for. And so, Senator Daley, we're on the same wavelength in terms of needing to bring this super rate of return down. Minnesota has been put a step on this. We need to move in this direction. I consider the bill that we have before us as a compromise. And as I said at the last meeting, there are probably things in this bill that each of us would rather not be there, but that's the nature of the political process and the nature of compromise. Members, we need to remember that we have a testifier that wrote a long list of employee groups and retired groups that didn't want us to do anything. And yet we have instead forged a compromise here that folks, in spite of that, we're concerned about the long-term health and of our funds, and we just feel this interest rate is too high. And so we forged a compromise to start bringing that down. significant compromise. But Senator Dale, I wish that we would have had your amendment weeks ago to consider, you know, my select qualified plan was on the table on February 9th. You know, we've had a weekly meeting since. And, I think that what we have before us is a reasonable compromise for the discussion. Mr. Chair. And Senator Dale.
I was led to believe that when SRS brought this to us, the first and executive director on the 21st or the 22nd of September testified that the MSRS board recommends moving to an 8.25% interest rate assumption for 2 years and then 8%. And also recommends looking at all of the actuarial assumptions at the same time. I thought that that was the position I was going to believe. That was the position. That was the direction that we were going. So when we talked about this is being played over and it's going to be included in the convention out of this bill, I was led to believe that that would be a part of where we were going right up until last week. So had I known that I needed to provide a specific amendment to do just that, I absolutely would have. And this is
well, Senator Daley, the Senate development plan was in the bill I introduced on February 9th. And, you know, so that was out there as a proposal way back then. And the TRA indicated to us back then last fall in the Erie County that they didn't want to change at all. And since that time, they have changed their position. They've indicated openness and willingness to support this. That's in the bill for the discussion.
Just about that one, Mr. Chairman, and that is that Mary Haddock, Executive Director, had also said essentially the same things next to Mr. Bergstrom. So, two out of the funds was well obtained. And I know that for whatever reason you're feeling that this is, as you said, a significant compromise, but it really does not change the assumed rate of return that you're, that Mr. Martin were to talk about. The substantial nature of this, if it were a significant move, it would, I think you would say, based on the email I just received, it has, from an actuarial point of view, a very minimal change to the assumed rate of return because of the long nature of the period of time people working and drawing benefits. You do it over a 40-50-year period, and this five-year transition period is so minimal from an actuarial point of view as to leave the rate at 8.5%, essentially. So if we want to leave it at 8.5, I just think from an intellectual honesty point of view, we should just say we're leaving it at 8.5. If we think we're moving it to 8, then we should have that discretion to actually move it to 8. And we can agree to disagree.
Thanks for the further discussion. Okay, we'll further discuss this. All in favor of 53A, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment is adopted. Members, thank you very much for your good work over all these many months, and now we will move to the State Government Operations Committee in the House. We have a hearing set for